Drexler sat upon the back of his horse, on the low hill just outside Greymere. Six of his men clustered around him. He had spent a day and a half hiding out here, less afraid of the denizens of the wild than he was of the seemingly unkillable bounty hunter. The sweat of fear dampened his brow as he thought of the man and the massive knife, and the use to which he put it. Drexler pulled a small steel flask from his belt and drained away more of the Italian brandy. A few of his men muttered something under their breath, but a withering gaze silenced them.
"You have something on your mind?"
he snarled.
"Yes,"
one of the men, a one-eyed thug that had been a bandit before Drexler had turned him to the marginally more legitimate trade of smuggler, replied. There was a defiant, worrisome tone in his voice. Some of the other men grumbled their support.
"Out with it," Drexler demanded. "If you go ahead with this,"
the eyepatch thug went on,
"there is no way Prince Valdemar is going to let us keep on operating in Greymere. Things have been good for us here. The town is a secure haven, close to the trade routes and caravan trails from the coast."
The man looked over at his comrades.
"You should wait this thing out. Hide until he gives up looking for you."
"Hide?" the question rumbled from Drexler's breast. "Like some damn rabbit?"
The level of outrage in his voice caused the one-eyed man to start. Drexler was all the more upset because he had been doing just that since the death of the marksman Lewis.
"I'll not hide, nor wait for the murderer to pull me back from my hole in the middle of the night and cut my head off with that damn knife of his. No, we must finish this thing, and if we must move on afterwards, then so be it."
The glare in Drexler's eyes told his men that there would be no further debate on the matter. Suddenly, all eyes turned from the merchant as a horseman rode up. It was Vincenzo. Beside the Tylian lumbered a massive, brutish form. It stood over 10 feet tall, its monstrous hide easily as broad across as the bed of a wagon. Thick arms, like dirty tree trunks, burst from the vest of tanned hide that clothed the bulging muscular torso. Legs like pillars crunched across the ground, leaving clawed footprints inches deep in the hard earth. A vacant face considered the assembled men from beneath a low, bony brow. A cap, ripped from the back of a bear, rested on the creature's head, flies swirling and dancing about the rotting fur. The slash-like mouth displayed the broken, rotting, jagged stumps of tusk-like teeth, one of them digging into the leather-like cheek beside a bulbous, squashed nose. Two beady, gray-hued eyes stared from sockets set deep in the thick skull. Vogan the Ogre let his hand twitch, a hand that gripped a club larger and more massive than any two of the men staring at him in a mix of awe and fear.
"I see you found Vogan,"
Drexler said, trying not to betray his intimidation. He had used Vogan before, both to protect his own caravans and to prey upon the wagons of his rivals, but he never failed to be awed by the sheer size of the brute.
"Does he know what to do?"
Vincenzo looked at the ogre.
"Down below, in Greymere," he began.
The ogre's brow knitted as he tried to puzzle out the meaning of the words. The Tylian pointed his hand at the town below.
"Down there, Greymere," he said.
The ogre followed Vincenzo's hand, nodding as he saw the town, but once again became muddled when the Tylian called it Greymere.
"The town," Vincenzo explained. "In town, there is an inn."
Once more, Vogan's brow knitted in concentration. Vincenzo rolled his eyes in disgust. He rode to the ogre's side, his horse snorting in aggravation as the stench of the behemoth's clothing struck its nostrils.
"See?"
he asked, pointing his finger under the ogre's nose. The ogre leaned forward, sighting along the line of the Tylian's finger, like an engineer aiming a cannon. He saw the finger stabbing at a two-story structure in the middle of the town. Vogan nodded his massive head.
Yeah, that place looks like a lunchbox. Vogan, see it?
The ogre's deep, rumbling voice growled.
There is a man there, Vincenzo went on. In the building. His name is Brunner. He wears a black steel helmet shaped like a bowl. It covers his face.
The Tylian gestured with his hands, trying to show the ogre what he meant. Vogan put a bony knuckle against his brow, as if pressing against his skull would enable him to make some meaning of the Tylian's words.
By the grace of Mor,
Drexler exclaimed, reining his horse beside the ogre.
Do you see that building?
The merchant asked. Once again, Vogan bent forward, sighting along Drexler's pointed finger.
Yeah, the place that looks like a lunchbox. Vogan, see it?
The ogre rumbled.
Go there. Kill anyone inside.
The ogre nodded enthusiastically. Here were orders he could understand. Drexler tossed the ogre a leather pouch, and the creature's face broke into a toothy smile as he saw the glittering coins inside. With a deep bellow, the brute turned and lumbered off down the slope toward the town. Drexler turned in his saddle, facing the incredulous looks of his men.
We'll be leaving Greymere anyway,
he said. There were shouts of alarm in the street. Behind the bar, the balding innkeeper cast a curious look on the door, wondering what was going on outside. He noticed the lamp hanging beside the door begin to jump on its hook. Ponderous steps thudded up to the door. Then the portal was smashed open. A hulking shape bent almost in half, moving sideways to fit through the doorway. The face of every man in the tavern stared, mouths dropping wide with horror. The ogre straightened up to his full, towering height, hitting his head on the low ceiling. Then he bent his neck down and rubbed a gnarled hand against his bearskin cap. Complete silence ruled the tavern, not a man daring to move a muscle. Vogan stared at the man, his beady eyes passing from one frozen figure to the next. He stuck a thick pink tongue between his lips, trying to concentrate. The boss had sent him here to do something, something important. A name flickered in the ogre's addled memory, and with it came the recollection of what he was supposed to do.
Brunner!
The ogre bellowed, raising his club and smashing it backhanded across the nearest table, scattering a pair of off-duty guardsmen. The ogre lumbered forward, backhanding a third guardsman as he charged at him, the powerful blow caving in the man's ribcage and sending his body hurling across the room with such force that he dented a timber wall where he struck it.
Brunner!
The murderous roar boomed from the ogre's mouth. His club smashed down onto another table, sending a shower of splinters and debris across the long room. Men were on their feet, screaming, shouting, and running in all directions away from the ogre.
Brunner!
The ogre rumbled again. For a second, he paused, his club raised in mid-strike, a trembling peasant huddled beneath him. The man dared to look up, saw the puzzled look on the ogre's face, and scurried away, crawling between his column-like legs and running for the smashed door behind him. The ogre's lips silently worked as his mind tried to remember what the word he was shouting meant. He shrugged and smashed the club down where the fleeing peasant had stood.
Brunner!
The deep voice boomed once more. The hulk turned, stomping towards the bar. The bald innkeeper heard a monster coming, reached beneath the counter, and retrieved the last bottle of Bogman's brew in the place. He downed the fine, expensive beer and mouthed his lips in a silent prayer.
Up here,
a cold voice called out. The ogre turned, paused a moment, trying to remember if he was here to kill someone or just destroy the place. He shrugged again. He would just have to do both. But first, he would kill. Even the ogre understood that the building doesn't run away. Vogan lumbered back into the hall, scanning the long common room on the other side. There was a loud whistle, and the brute turned, facing the stairway. He looked up and saw a man in armor standing at the head of the stairs. The ogre's thick fingers teased about the grip of the club.
"Brunner!"
he bellowed again. His massive foot smashed down on the bottommost stair. The wood splintered and burst under his mammoth weight.
"That's right," Brunner's cold voice called down to Vogan.
The bounty hunter puffed away at his cigar, then revealed the object he held in his hand. An unhooded flask of oil from the lamp in his room. The ogre stared stupidly at the earthenware pot, then stepped forward again, crushing another stare in his advance. The bounty hunter smiled, hefted the flask, and threw it full in the face of the oncoming brute. The ogre snarled, gasping in pain as the oil stung his eyes. He dropped his club, grasping at his face, trying to batter away whatever had stung him with his fists. On the stair, Brunner sighed. He lifted a twisted paper taper to the end of his cigar. Another puff, and the paper took flame. The bounty hunter let it linger for a moment, until it was well and truly on fire, a thick orange flame quickly eating the taper. "Hardly worth the effort," the bounty hunter said, tossing the flaming taper at the oil-soaked ogre.
"How long do you think he will be?"
Drexler asked his confederate as they sat looking down at Greymere from the top of the hill.
"That depends," Vincenzo replied. "Do you think he will still be able to find his way back here?"
Drexler clucked his tongue.
"I should have told him that I would pay him when he got back. Like as not, I could have convinced him he had already been paid for the job if I had done that."
"Look!"
exclaimed one of Drexler's thuggish hirelings. Down below, the streets of Greymere were once more plunged into chaos. A massive, flaming shape staggered through the muddy streets, blindly groping its way.
"Drop to the street!" Drexler cursed under his breath. "Douse yourself in mud!"
But the burning ogre just staggered on, bellowing in agony.
"Well," commented one of his hirelings, "so much for the ogre dealing with Brunner."
Drexler cast a withering gaze on the man.
"Perhaps he finished him off before the bounty hunter got him," Vincenzo offered. "Ogres take a long time to die. I've seen many a man fighting an ogre that had an axe blade in his skull."
Drexler thought for a moment, then whipped his horse down the hill.
"Yes, we must see for ourselves."
The hirelings and Vincenzo quickly followed their employer towards the town. The front gates of the fort were gaping wide. The mashed remains of the watch captain, who had fought to turn back the ogre, were lying in the puddle in the middle of the road. The rest of his command were still hiding in whatever burrow they had fled to. As Drexler wheeled his horse around the gory remains, he considered just how inept peace had rendered Greymere's soldiery. Perhaps it was just as well that he was moving on, because next time the orcs came up out of the Badlands, he doubted if Prince Valdemar's men would repulse them. The riders made their way to the inn. The streets around them had grown silent, only the occasional face peering from a doorway, telling them that people yet lurked in the town. The burning corpse of Vogan smoldered beside the road, his enormous vitality and dull nervous system at last overcome by the fire that still chewed on his flesh. Drexler did not give his former lackey a second glance, but reined his horse before the battered doorway of the inn. Vincenzo and his henchmen followed Drexler into the deserted building. They made a cursory examination of the lower floor, but found nothing. Then Vincenzo set up a shout. He had discovered a trail of blood leading away from the bar, up the shattered stairway, and to the hall above. Drexler smiled and ordered his men to follow the trail. If nothing else, the ogre had wounded the bounty hunter. Terrible as he might be, Brunner would be no match for Drexler's mob, wounded. The trail of blood led to a room at the end of the hall. The men filed into the chamber, looking about. The room was empty, save for a bed, a small rickety-looking table, and a large lamp. The men wrinkled their noses at the rotten smell of the room. The henchman looked under the bed, examined the small chest set in the corner, as if their prey might have crawled into it.
"Where did he go?"
Drexler demanded. The trail of blood led into the room, there could be no doubt about that. Vincenzo looked away from the chest, back to his employer. Then the Thylian's eyes grew wide with alarm. Drexler turned to see what had upset him, and all the color left his face. The lamp, its wick burning away, was no lamp. It was a small wooden keg. And, as the wick burnt away, carrying the flame into the keg, the stench of gunpowder overwhelmed the vengeful men. Outside, Brunner stared up at the inn, slowly counting down. He reached three when there was a loud explosion. The bounty hunter spat his cigar into the mud.
"Cut the fuse a little too short," he commented to himself and strode across the street, drawing his sword.
Brunner marched up the stairs toward the antechamber, where smoke still boiled. He peered into the room, his eyes studying the moaning, dying men and those already past their suffering. Then he nodded in satisfaction, gripping the chin of the nearest body, lifting the face to study its features. The dying fog's moan grew to a shriek as the bounty hunter forced his neck to crane upward on the savaged flesh that connected it to his chest. He let the man's head fall back. No money to be had from him. The rest of the room was a shambles, and Brunner idly considered the steel balls embedded in the timber walls. It would take some doing to remove the steel bullets from the walls. Most likely the innkeeper would leave them, perhaps throwing some planks or paint over them to conceal them from the next patron. The improvised bomb had been a trick borrowed from a dwarf he had known. His entire supply of steel bullets had been loaded into a small keg, then filled with black powder. A crude but effective way to attend to the gang of would-be murderers. Brunner had guessed that the ogre represented the last hopes of whoever was trying to kill him. He surmised the man behind the whole thing would have come to see for himself if the bounty hunter was dead, bringing enough muscle with him to feel safe. The bounty hunter had borrowed some blood from the dead soldier in the tavern below, thinking he would not mind any more. It would be necessary to get them quickly to his room, lest the bomb detonate before they were inside, or close enough to be stunned by the explosion. He smiled again. It seemed that his bomb had got the entire mob, which was even more than he had hoped for. A wheezing breath brought the bounty hunter spinning around. He stared at a rugged lump of human debris that had crawled away from Brunner's room, leaving a swath of blood behind him like the trail of a snail. The man raised a gory hand to his defiance. The steel helm of the bounty hunter nodded as the eyes behind the visor drank in the wounded man's face. There was an unmistakable air of authority about him that was evident even in his dying state. Clearly, this was the person behind all the attacks against Brunner. Drexler glared at Brunner, waiting for him to draw his butchering knife. Now that death had set upon him, he found that he was prepared for it. He would enter the realm of Mor, knowing that he had fought to the last.
"Why?"
the bounty hunter's cold voice rasped. Drexler's eyes grew wide with shock. The killer didn't even know who he was. The bounty hunter hadn't come to Greymere looking for him at all. The dying man began to laugh at the absurdity of it, But the sound faded as a bubble of blood rose in his throat and burst. He had walked into his own death. Drexler's head slumped against the floor with a thud. Brunner turned away from the dead man and headed back into the room, pulling the headsman from his belt. There were a few faces in the chaos he thought he recognized. One might even belong to a Tylian thief named Vincenzo, on whom some petty sum was being offered in Miragliano. And there was no sense in letting perfectly good money rot in the bellies of crows and wolves. A few hours later, a dark armored figure rode through the gates of Greymere, where a large group of soldiers was clearing away the remains of the former watch captain. Behind him trailed the dappled gray pack horse, a large barrel strapped across its back. The kidnapper Brunner had been waiting for would never show his face in Greymere now, not with alarm rampant in town. It would take weeks for the place to calm down again. Brunner cast a look over his shoulder at the barrel. He might not have met up with the man he was hunting, but at least he had turned a profit by his dalliance in the border prince's town. The bounty hunter smiled. Besides, there were those who would pay 10 times more for the collection of salted meats he carried than the price of the kidnapper's head. The bounty hunter lashed the reins of his steed and set out on the long road back to the city-states of Tylea.